Romans chapter 6. The message tonight is total depravity after conversion. I spoke to you Lord's Day on total depravity before conversion. We'll read about it. There are so many passages that bear upon the subject, but I'll just read four and then mention the others as they come to mind. Romans chapter 6, first of all, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So here is something that happened, but Paul is saying, are you ignorant of these things? So look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he liveth unto God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Now, chapter 7. He was speaking to them about being ignorant of their being represented in Christ, that when Christ died, they died. In chapter 7, he's going to show them to what extent this death released them from all that involved their past lives. And then he's going to discover something that he did not know, even though he was personally spoken to by our Lord from heaven. Verse 1 of chapter 7, or are you ignorant, brethren? For I speak to men who know the law, that the law hath dominion over a man so long time as he liveth. For the woman that hath a husband is bound by law to the husband while he liveth. But if the husband die, she is discharged from the law of the husband. So then, if while the husband liveth, she be joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband die, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be joined to another. Wherefore, my brethren, you also were made dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you should be joined to another, even to him that was raised from the dead, that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit, I have not known sin except through the law. For I had not known coveting except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, finding occasion, worked in me through the commandment. Please notice, the law is the whole of the law. The commandment is one of the specific demands of the law. The commandment, all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. And I was alive apart from the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived. It came to life again, and I died. And the commandment which was unto life I found to be unto death. For sin, finding occasion through the commandment, beguiled me, and through it slew me. So that the law is holy, and the commandment holy and righteous and good. Did then that which is good become death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might be shown to be sin by working death to me through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I understand not. That's the meaning of the word. I do not realize what's happening. For not what I would, that do I practice. But what I hate, that I do. But if what I would not, that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So now, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. I find then the law, that to me who would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I of myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that's where the verse ends, according to the most ancient manuscripts. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance, that is, the righteous requirements of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And we must read this, Ephesians 4. Please notice, it is total depravity after conversion. Look at verse 20. But you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man, now listen to the exact translation, that increases, that waxes corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth, and it says in Colossians 3 that the new man is being renewed. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these remarkable passages that we have read. How much there is to learn, even though we are your children, and how slow we are to learn and then to obey. But we pray that tonight, with the help of thy Spirit, to those who listen and him who speaks, that we shall make some progress. We shall learn about what we truly are, even though we have trusted Christ as Savior. So bless us to that end, we pray. We look to thee for good in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I read you Lord's Day that startling verse in Matthew chapter 7, when our Savior said to his disciples, if you then, being evil. Why would our Lord address those that are his followers as being evil? And what makes it more embarrassing is this, that in chapter 12, he speaks of his enemies and he says, "You offspring of serpents, you being evil." Now, isn't that remarkable? That those that are his enemies he calls evil, you being evil, and those that have trusted him as Savior, he still speaks of them as being evil. And what happens is that so many children of God think that because of all the positive statements God makes about what is ours since Christ redeemed us, that there are no negative things to be said. But if you will do this, if you will look at every positive thing that is said that is ours in Christ that has already been accomplished, you will find that we are exhorted to practically bring it into existence because it does not exist. You say, how can that be? How can something be and yet not be? Well, that is what confronted the Apostle Paul and confronts the child of God after he's truly saved. He knows that he's been born again. The Spirit of God in his heart cries, "Abba, Father." But while all of this is going on, another voice at times speaks within him, and it influences him and encourages him to continue in the sinful life that he lived before he was saved. And it becomes so frustrating because he knows that he's a child of God. He knows that he has a new nature. And he thought that he had lost that old nature. But he did not lose that old nature. It's like some who truly trust Christ as Savior, but at times it is years before they learn that they have eternal life, and that they shall never perish, and that no one shall pluck them out of his hand. The Gospel of John is written that you might be saved, and the Epistle of John is written that you may know that you are saved. But what happens is this, that when a child of God, at the beginning of his life as a Christian, he has so many things to learn, that he does not know them at first. And then, when these things that he thought were true turn out to be not true, then he is frustrated and he is crushed and he wonders if he's ever been saved at all. Now, that's a good thing to ask yourself. Is what happening to me, is it carnality or is it simply a proof that I've never been saved at all? Now, what saves from embarrassment is this. In 1 Corinthians 8, the Apostle Paul talks about idols, and he says, "We know that an idol is nothing, and anything sacrificed to an idol, all of this is nothing." He says, "Howbeit, there is not in all men this knowledge." And what I'm telling you tonight, it may not be in your knowledge that you are still evil. The Lord Jesus speaks to his followers and he says, "If you then being evil," and they did not grasp it for this reason. When the Savior said to Peter, his true disciple, being evil, he said, "You're going to deny me three times this night." And Peter said, "I will never deny you." He did not understand that he still was evil. That there was the new Peter, yes, because in Matthew chapter 16, he who was Simon is named Peter. But at the same time, when he's talking to Peter about the sin that he's going to commit, he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, And when you've turned again, when you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so Peter did not realize that he still was evil. Not completely. Before he trusted Christ as Savior, he was nothing but evil. But now that he has trusted Christ as Savior, there is the old man, and there was the new man. There was the fallen nature, and there was the divine nature. And even though we have the divine nature, it does not extirpate the old fallen nature. And this is what causes Christians to stumble, to doubt their salvation, to be stunted in their spiritual growth, because they do not realize that even though they belong to Christ, the Lord looks at them and he says, "You being evil." So this is what you must do. You must go and look at everything the Bible says about you that's true, everything that it says has come to pass, and when you do, you will look and find its counterpart, that all of these things are to happen to you and are not going to come to pass until the future. If I ask you, where are you seated this night? You say, at Northgate Chapel in Durham. Why, I can show you in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible tells us that we are already there. And if I ask you, have you been glorified? You say, God knows I have not been glorified. But it says in Romans chapter 8, whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so all of the things that are going to be true of you are spoken of as already being true of you. And that is what confuses the Christian. And what happens is this. Since God says they are true, we may justly overcome that fallen nature by following the commands and the instructions that God gives us as to how to deal with that old man that remains in us. That is what it says in Romans chapter 6. He tells them, he says, are you ignorant that you died with Christ when he died? You say, everybody knows that. They did not know it in Romans chapter 6. He says, are you ignorant? And then in chapter 7, he also speaks to them, trying to rid them of their ignorance, that they do not understand what is involved if they died with Christ, all their responsibilities and all their guilt as to the past, how that when they died, they were freed from all of that because of their union with Christ, because by the body of Christ and by the death of Christ, they were constituted dead. And so the Apostle Paul learns later on, and he says this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. He understood then that he had been crucified with Christ. But what he did not understand was that that fallen nature was still there, but he discovered it one day, just as sinners discover when they come under conviction that they are lost, and then Christians discover that they have that fallen nature when they are going along well, and then there is a third step that I shall tell you about perhaps later, but there is the discovery of the lost and of the saved, and it happens when the commandment comes. The only thing you know spiritually, the only thing you know of light in a spiritual sense, is from the revelation of God. And this is what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7. He says, what I do, I cannot understand. He cannot comprehend what is going on in his heart. Why? Because he says, there is something in me that wants to do good. But even though it wants to do good, I do evil. and there is something that I am to refrain from doing, but instead of refraining from doing it, I am doing it. He says, I cannot understand why this is. Until finally, he understands that there are two laws working in him. There is the law of sin and of death, and there is the law of the Spirit and of life. And as you as a Christian learn that, you are going to be, if there are sincere thoughts in your heart, you are going to be crying out as Paul did in Romans chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? But what happens to most Christians is this. They are so unconcerned about sanctification to God, presenting their bodies as living sacrifices to God, that they are not annoyed at all. They are not aware that sin comes in, and what happens is that their conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron, and they go through life, and they have no conviction about sin. Why? Because they are unable to comprehend that the things that they are doing are sinful. And yet the Apostle Paul says, now, I don't understand what is happening to me. But by the end of the chapter, he understands. And he says this, when he cries out of the misery that he's in, I'm glad that he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But some Christians have never realized that. That Christ not only delivers them from the penalty of sin, but he delivers them from the power of sin. And they think that because they have trusted Christ as Savior, the old nature is gone, and they cannot understand what is going on inside them. But I told you of the total depravity of man before conversion and after conversion. It's always that way. And that total depravity remains until we see Christ and we are like him when we see him as he is. Until then, it will be this way. John expresses it, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. There is no truth in us. And so he says, we have sinned and we have sinned. And that's what the Savior meant when he said, you being evil. And so Paul knows what it is to have that sinful nature, that old Adamic nature that is spoken of as the old man, as being in the flesh. And once he learns about it, and he learns that there is a constant fight going on in him, then he is able to overcome it. And you overcome it by understanding and also by development and also by the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, you may not know that that sinful nature is working against you, but it is. He says, that has happened, but positionally, in Christ, you died with Christ. And because you died with Christ, you must reckon yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. Now, some people would deceive themselves into saying, I'm dead to sin. But if they've never been born again, they cannot reckon that they've been dead to sin. Because it's not true. But if we are children of God, what is spoken concerning us is a reality, and we must reckon what is real and bring it into a practical working into our lives. Now, the next thing is this. You have an old nature, and that is why I read to you from Ephesians 4, and I quoted from Colossians 3, and it says this concerning the old nature that's still with you. Total depravity after conversion. Instead of your old nature getting better, it says that old nature is waxing corrupt. You say, well, how can it get worse? It's the only thing that it can do. It never gets better. It attains a certain degree of wickedness, and then it only increases. It says, concerning evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse. deceiving and being deceived. And the old man waxes, increases, corrupt. You say, so the old man cannot be improved. That's not what I'm working on. No. It says concerning the new man, it is being constantly renewed. So I understand. Two things take place. One of them without any effort on my part. That old fallen nature is waxing corrupt. It never gets better. But I must work upon my new nature being renewed. And these are the ways that it's renewed. Listen to this now, how the new nature is renewed. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Lord, the Spirit. You say, beholding the glory of the Lord, and what happens? That new nature is transformed from glory to glory. It says this in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? Listen to the negative exhortation. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's negative. And what are we to do? We are to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We are to love the law of God, the commandments of God, inasmuch as it is spiritual and holy and good and righteous. We are to love it. And this is what happens when a Christian reaches a certain stage in his life. What happens, first of all, is this. The commandment comes, and when it comes, and there is a sincere and an honest understanding of it, the commandment comes, and we understand that we have not kept that commandment. And we say, O wretched man that I am. It happened to the rich young ruler. Notice, he was lost. And he had tried with all his might to earn eternal life. And yet the Savior said, one thing you lack. He said, you say you've loved your neighbor as yourself? Well, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me and you shall have treasure in heaven. And that is the commandment of God, loving your neighbor as yourself. It struck him with a blow so strong that his countenance fell, and he walked away from the Lord down the pathway to hell. Why? Because the commandment came, and that sin might become exceeding sinful, he realized that he had not kept the commandment. Now, in like manner, the Apostle Paul, after he was saved, had thought that he now was keeping the commandments, and he could count them one by one. No, I haven't blasphemed. I haven't murdered, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't stolen. And he gets to the last commandment, thou shalt not covet. And the commandment strikes him a blow, because though outwardly no one can lay a hand upon him, yet inwardly he knows that he has desired evil things as you and I desire our own particular evil things. And I will bring some to your attention to show you how covetousness will destroy us. Here is Achan in Joshua chapter 7. And God has specifically told them that they are to touch nothing of the booty. And yet Achan looks upon silver and gold and a goodly Babylonish garment, and he covets those things. And the next thing he does is to appropriate those things. And he's destroyed. And you will find that Korah and all those that followed him looked at Moses and Aaron being high priest and God's representative. And they said, we are as holy as you are. You take too much upon yourself. They coveted position. And it's the same way with the Diotrephes in the Christian church today. He wants to have the preeminence. That is covetousness. And here is Solomon, who coveted wife and concubine after concubine and wife until he had 1,000. And these things that he coveted, it said, they drew his heart away from God. And what happens is this. Here are things that you want, and you do not realize that that is sin. If I am single and want a Christian wife, that is good. But the Savior says that if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. You are coveting something that you may not have. And Diotrephes wanting a position that's not his. And Korah wanting a position that is not his. And so you and I may outwardly refrain from sin. But what happens is this. We covet it inwardly. And when Paul saw that, he said, I was alive once apart from the law. He fancied that. Like the Savior said, why, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repented than over 99 just men who have no need of repentance. But they didn't exist. They were the ones, as in Luke 18, they justified themselves. They thought they were righteous. And the Savior said, 99 who need no repentance. And Paul said, I was alive once apart from the law, but the commandment came and I died. What happened? The same outlook that rich young ruler had, but the commandment came and it slew him. He found out that he had no hope of heaven. And the Apostle Paul, thinking all these good things about himself, and the commandment comes, and he sees that in him, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing, and it slew him, and he died. And finally, he understood that even though he had a new nature, he was powerless under the contest with the old nature unless something was done. And please note this, that the new nature is not of itself capable of wrestling and overcoming the old nature. It will be overcome every time. What happens is this. If you read chapter 7, it has been observed that you read nothing about the Holy Spirit of God, perhaps one reference to the Spirit of God, nothing there about the Spirit of God. But in chapter 8, it is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what happens is this. That new nature God can work upon. He cannot work upon that old nature. He works upon the new nature. And it says, so then, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so here is the new nature. And the old nature and the new nature are combating with one another. But when God works in us to will and to do the things that are pleasing in his sight, then the new nature is strong and it overcomes and we do the will of God. And so by the renewing of our minds, we are transformed. By looking unto Christ and his glory, we are transformed. And by allowing God's Spirit to empower us to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, this is what I want you to do. You may read in Psalm 40 and Psalm 119. In Psalm 40 about one man who said this concerning himself. He said, I delight to do thy will. I delight in thy law. Thy law is within my heart. And 7 times in Psalm 119, the psalmist said, I delight in thy law. I delight in thy precepts. I delight in the things that come from heaven. And so what happens is that when the Spirit of God works upon us and makes our minds, let this mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus, when we have that mind, then we delight in the law of God. And it's not an evil thing, but it is a good thing. And we obey the law, not to get salvation, but because we understand that it's a manifestation of what God's will is. And then we do it willingly and we rejoice in it. And so, total depravity before you were saved, and total depravity after you are saved. But thank God there is the victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that is enough.